In today's show, we'll be breaking down the latest Bitcoin technical analysis as Bitcoin whales copy classic bull market moves as Bitcoin price now eyes 72,000. That's right. We're also going to be discussing Cathie Wood's Bitcoin ETF hits daily inflow record as Bitcoin retests the 72,000 level, as well as the BlackRock CEO Larry Fink very bullish on Bitcoin as its ETF crosses 17 billion dollars. Also breaking news, Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in prison. We'll also be discussing Bitcoin's $300,000 dream. Is Rich Dad's bold prediction within reach? Can we truly push into the six-figure Bitcoin realm? We're also going to be discussing Tether co-founder making a $300,000 Bitcoin price prediction if this happens by April 20th. We'll also be taking a look at the overall crypto market, all this plus so much more in today's show. Yo, what's good, crypto fam? This is first and foremost a video show. So if you want the full premium experience with video, visit my YouTube channel at cryptonewsalerts.net. Again, that's cryptonewsalerts.net. Today is pod episode number 1592. I'm your host, JV. It's March 28th, 2024, and we recaptured 71,000 today as the market continues to pump. So let's get it. Checking out our market watch, as you can see here, Bitcoin up 3% on the daily. We got Ether up 2%, trending back above 3,500. And overall, all the cryptos pumping and in the green with Doge leading the pack, pun intended, up 22% on the daily. And checking out coinmarketcap.com, we're sitting at a 2.66 trillion market cap with a roughly 104 billion in volume for the past 24 hours. Bitcoin dominance at 52.3% with the Ether dominance still on the decline at 16.1%. And checking out the top 100 crypto gainers for the past 24 hours, Doge, Core, Floki, Whiff, Fetch, and Ajax. Now, which altcoins family are you guys most bullish on for this particular bull run? Holla. And checking out the crypto bubbles, get more of a visual perspective on the day. Yeah, man, roughly 95% of the alts pumping pretty nice right now. And zooming out on the monthly, we even have some of these meme coins up as much as 500%, Pepe 300%, Floki 500, FIF almost 600, I mean WIF that is, Bonk 100, pretty wild. Sheeb is even up 212% of the month. And checking out the Crypto Greed and Fear Index. I guess this is a different Crypto Greed and Fear Index. Let me get the one I usually pull up here. My apologies here. Let's see where we're currently rated for the day. It's an 80 in extreme greed. Yesterday an 83, last week a 78, and last month a 79. And checking out the Bitcoin halving countdown, the estimated halving date is April 18th, only 20 days out until the most significant event that only occurs every 4 years, one time in every 4 years. That's going to occur at block height 800. And 40,000 right now, according to the time chain calendar, we're currently sitting on block 836,709. And you could convert $1 for 1,400 Satoshis. Just note, the higher the Bitcoin price goes up in dollar terms, the less Satoshis you will get per dollar. So, you know what I mean? Act accordingly. And the Bitcoin market cap is also at 1.39 trillion. Let's go. Anyways, let's dive into today's Bitcoin technical analysis. Check out the charts where the price action is likely to take us next. Bitcoin sought higher levels at the week's last Wall Street open as the bulls refused to succumb to market nerves. Here we're looking at the Bitcoin 1 hour candle chart. Now, data from TradingView followed a resurgent Bitcoin price action as it surpassed 71,000 here this morning. Flash volatility the day prior was an ongoing legal battle between US SEC and Coinbase, which sent Bitcoin below the 69,000 support that was just the other day. The weakness did not last long as buyers stepped in to fuel the ongoing attempt to snatch liquidity near all-time highs. And on the day, popular trader Skoo warned that fake out price behavior could result from manipulative liquidity moves. And amongst these was fresh bid support between 70,200 and 70,600, all of which was subsequently removed from the Binance order book. And with all-time highs still acting as a clear price ceiling, the current top being 73,800. Fellow trader Dan Crypto Trades considered where price discovery could take Bitcoin should the sellers be beaten out, quoting them here, break an all-time high and low 80,000 should follow shortly afterwards, I think. Let me know if you agree or disagree with the analysts. And the chart here you can see on your screen showed near-term trend line support in the form of the 200 period simple and exponential moving averages on the four-hour time frames. Now, analyzing on-chain Bitcoin flows, we had the crypto quant CEO, Ki Jong Ju, highlighting a shift in ownership amongst the biggest Bitcoin hodlers. Under current conditions, he revealed the long-term investors with significant exposure, in which we call the whales, were offloading coins, while new whale entities were steadily buying up the supply. These were institutions, he suggested, with the U.S. spot Bitcoin ETFs removing hundreds of billions of dollars worth of BTC from the market every day. Quoting them here, old whales are selling Bitcoin to the new whales, not retail investors. This can clearly be observed on-chain, as outlined right here. The chart showed the consequences of major on-chain ownership shifts, a run-up to all-time highs, as witnessed in both the 2017 and 2021 bull markets. And quoting analyst Jelle here, Bitcoin is less than 4% away from a huge breakout. The previous all-time high breakouts, April 2017 and December of 2020, both led to 3 weeks of rapid expansion, more than doubling the prices in the process. If this pattern repeats, we'd push to $150,000 Bitcoin in less than a month. Now, how many of you can foresee that happening? $150,000 Bitcoin within the next 30 days. Holla at your boy. But anyways, fam, let's dive into our next story of the day, discuss the latest from Cathie Wood and her product for her ETF, which is seeing record inflows. Let's break it down. ARK 21 shares spot Bitcoin ETF managed to notch a record million of inflows this Wednesday, almost quintupling its average daily inflows as Bitcoin fell just short of reaching 72,000. Preliminary data from Farside Investors revealed March 27th. The ARK 21 shares Bitcoin ETF daily inflow was a fourfold increase from its daily average of 44 million since launch January 11th. It also nearly tripled the amount from the previous day when ARK Invest saw inflows of 74 million, while there were no recorded inflows on March 25th. As per data here from the far side. Meanwhile, the Valkyrie Bitcoin ETF with the ticker BRRR witnessed a 5.1 million worth of inflows, while Invesco Galaxy saw 4.8 million worth of inflows, and Franklin Bitcoin's ETF had 4 million of inflows, along with VanEck's ETF HODL, noting 2 million. Both the Wisdom Tree Bitcoin ETF and Fidelity Investments reported 1.5 million of inflows, all single-digit inflows. However, BlackRock data has yet to come in. However, we'll be discussing BlackRock just next as our story, so all good. So it comes as Bitcoin hits almost 72,000 before falling below 69,000. That was most likely due to the SEC lawsuit drama from, versus Coinbase, FYI, which was announced the other day. Now, in a March 28th post, crypto researcher Gumshoe informed his 29,000 followers, investors are opting for a micro perspective, focusing on the daily price closures rather than considering the actual influx of the funds of Bitcoin. Quoting him here, Bitcoin ETF seeing all-time high inflows and people are panicking over the daily close of a candle. In a post on X, chief investment officer of Bitwise, Matt Hogan, stated the majority of professional investors are still unable to buy Bitcoin ETFs, especially in the UK, where the FCA is still broadly aligned against crypto. Quoting him here, the truth is, most professional investors still cannot buy Bitcoin ETFs. That will change through a series of 100-plus individual due diligence processes over the next 2 years. And popular crypto commentator Bitcoin Munger shared with his followers he believes the next $13 billion worth of inflows could add 50 to 70,000 or more to the price. Send it with 70,000 times two. That would take us to 140,000 per coin. Now, it was also reported that a total of $13.2 billion in new capital has flowed into investment products such as the spot Bitcoin ETFs year to date. Not too shabby. And a quick shout out to Stephen Huffer. Stephen, Larry Fink is a Bitcoin fan, and he will not deny the possibility of 700,000. I think there's going to be a super cycle of Bitcoin. I hope you're right. And speaking of the BlackRock CEO, Larry Fink, that's actually our next story of the day. The headline reads, BlackRock CEO very bullish on Bitcoin as its ETF crosses $17 billion. That's right. Larry Fink has been pleasantly surprised by the performance of his firm Spot Bitcoin ETF, as he has reiterated he is very bullish on the long-term viability of Bitcoin. Quoting him here, IBIT is the fastest growing ETF in the history of ETFs. Nothing has gained assets as fast as IBIT in the history of ETFs. Let that sink in. He shared that on Fox Business News just yesterday, the 27th. Fink said that iShares Bitcoin Trust, which is IBIT's performance, has even surprised him at how well it has performed over the first 11 trading weeks. Now, IBIT has a strong start to trading, tallying $13.5 billion in flows in the first 11 weeks, with an roughly $850 million daily high on March 12th. According to Farside Investors, IBIT averages a little over $260 million in inflows per trading day. Quoting Fink again from the interview, "We're creating now a market that has more liquidity, more transparency, and I am pleasantly surprised. I would have never have predicted it before we filed it, and we are going to see this type of retail demand." Asked whether IBIT would do good, but not this good, is what he was anticipating. He responded, "Yeah, definitely. I am very bullish on the long-term viability of Bitcoin," according to the BlackRock CEO. And here's a clip of him that Simon Dixon posted of him discussing this on Fox Business News. Let me know if you guys saw this clip. I'll include it in the show notes below the video in the description. Now, IBIT currently holds over $17 billion worth of Bitcoin. Whoa, since January 11th, that's mind-boggling. According to BitMEX Research, it only took 2 months to reach the $10 billion mark, a milestone that took the first gold ETF 2 years to reach. Mind-boggling. And of the currently approved ETFs, IBIT only trails the Grayscale Bitcoin Trust and Bitcoin Holdings at $23.6 billion in BTC. Grayscale's Bitcoin holdings have continued to slip, down from 620,000 Bitcoin it held before converting to a spot Bitcoin ETF. Now they're closer in the 300,000 range, virtually shedding half of their Bitcoin holdings. The 9 spot Bitcoin ETF issuers, excluding Grayscale, now hold over $34 billion in Bitcoin, with IBIT, the Fidelity Wise Origin Bitcoin Fund, and ARK21 shares leading the inflows. Meanwhile, some industry pundits predict that some spot Bitcoin ETF issuers could eventually shut down due to the lack of profits. Quoting them here, "Most of the current ETFs launched will never even break even at cost and will only work if they get to billions of assets under management, which they won't," according to Hector McNeil, the co-CEO and founder of white label ETF provider Han ETF. Now, several ETF issuers have lowered their fees to try to be competitive against some of the big players, but these small issuers face an uphill battle in entering this turf war of giants, according to Bloomberg ETF analyst Henry Jim. "If they match the fees, they won't have enough revenue to survive. And if they don't lower the fees, they won't be able to gather enough critical mass assets to survive." Now, asset management firm HashDex had its spot Bitcoin ETF approved March 27th, making it the 11th and latest entrant to a competitive spot Bitcoin ETF market in the United States. And let's not forget, we also have ETFs, which are going to be launched here soon in Hong Kong. Big money there coming out of the East, and then, of course, out of El Salvador in Central America. And the difference, some of these ETFs are going to be Bitcoin in, some even Bitcoin out, whereas that doesn't currently exist here in the United States. My personal view is more competition, the better, as the game theory continues in full force. But let me know your thoughts, family. Now, also consider that what BlackRock just achieved since January 11th in just over 2 months, it took MicroStrategy 4 years to acquire over 200,000 Bitcoin. BlackRock just did that in less than 3 months. So game theory is playing out very rapidly right now, and I feel we're just getting started. My apologies for the hiccups. It is what it is. Welcome to the live stream. Anyways, here's the latest from Bankman-Fried being sentenced to 25 years in prison. The headline reads, 1 second, let me backtrack. As you can see here, Sam Bankman-Fried sentenced to 25 years in prison. That's right, breaking news today. So March 28th, Judge Lewis Kaplan of the U.S. District Court of the Southern District in New York sentenced Bankman-Fried to 240 months plus 60 months for a total of 25 years for his conviction on 7 felony charges. SBF was the first person tied to FTX and Alameda Research to face prison time following the collapse of the exchange back in November 2022. Seems like yesterday. You know what I mean? Now, Judge Kaplan found SBF also committed witness tampering based on events that led him to revoke bail August 2023, and perjury based on his testimony at trial over the FTX user funds. He acknowledged Bankman-Fried's social awkwardness, but said, based on former Alameda Research CEO Caroline Ellison's testimony, SBF knew he was at fault, but was not going to admit a thing, quoting the judge here. Punishment must fit the seriousness of the crime, according to the judge. And this was a serious crime. When not lying, Bankman-Fried was evasive, hair-splitting, trying to get the prosecutors to rephrase questions for him. I've been doing this job for close to 30 years. I've never seen a performance like that. The judge also suggested an $11 billion judgment in addition to SBS prison time. He said FTX investors lost $1.7 billion, lenders lost $1.3 billion, and customers lost the most at $8 billion. And according to the Inner City Press reporter Matthew Lee, the New York courtroom was packed with members of the public and officials before the U.S. Marshals brought out Bankman-Fried. The former FTX CEO is reportedly wearing light brown clothes, the uniform of the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, where he stayed since the judge revoked his bail. Quoting him here, I reject the defense's argument about loss, both on the law and on the facts, said Judge Kaplan. And according to the Inner City Press, the assertion that customers and creditors will be paid in full is misleading. Defendants equate loss with dollar volume in the bankruptcy case, added the judge. A fortuitous run-up in the value of some cryptos bears no relation to the gravity of the crimes that were committed. A thief who takes his loot to Las Vegas and successfully bets is not entitled to a sentencing reduction. Good for the judge on that. And ultimately, what they're pointing out, you know, Bankman-Fried's mom wrote like a letter to the court that my son's making everyone whole. He shouldn't serve any serious prison time, yada, yada, yada. But you all know that the investors are not being made whole. They're getting paid the Bitcoin at the bottom of the market, meaning Bitcoin at 16,000 and not 70,000. Just FYI, I wanted to point that out. But anyways, before the judge announced the sentence, Bankman-Fried said he was sorry about what happened at every stage. Oh, wow, he said he's sorry, claiming FTX would have survived if it hadn't been shut down. Sure, Sam. In a final statement, his attorney seemingly portrayed the former FTX CEO as misunderstood genius. Quoting them here, Sam was not a ruthless financial serial killer. He wasn't predatory. He makes decisions with math in his head, not malice in his heart. Tell it to the judge. Anyways, Sunil, a UK national who flew from London for the sentencing hearing, testified that he had suffered for 2 years after the collapse of FTX, addressing the court on behalf of other FTX victims, pushing back against the narrative that the loss was zero based on the exchange's plans of repayment. Quoting him here, if Mr. Bankman-Fried thought mathematics justified it, he'd do it again. And also added there was no acceptance of responsibility from the former CEO. Now, Judge Kaplan's sentence essentially split the difference between recommendations from SBF's attorneys and prosecutors, who argued for a maximum 6.5 and 50 years, respectively. Many experts predicted Judge Kaplan would impose a sentence of between 10 to 30 years based on the facts of the case and the amount of funds involved. Meanwhile, Gary Wang, Caroline Ellison, Nashad and Ryan, four other individuals associated with FTX and Alameda, charged in the same case as SBF, have pleaded guilty, accepting deals. The former CEO of FTX Digital Markets was the only one of the four to not testify at Bankman-Fried's criminal trial. He'll likely be the next to face sentencing on the 1st of May. Now, let me know how you feel Caroline Ellison and the rest of the gang are going to fare with their sentencing later in the coming months. Holla at your boy. Let's discuss our next story of the day. Rich dad Robert Kiyosaki and his $300,000 Bitcoin price prediction dream. Shall we? Here we go. We'll start here. Bitcoin surged at the end of March, surpassing key psychological threshold of 70,000 per token. Since then, Bitcoin lost over 10% of its value before breaching this level in the recent days, but now we're back above 71,000. As it appears, it is a game on the world's largest cryptocurrency. Bitcoin, as we know, has seen ups and downs, but ahead of its pivotal halving event scheduled to take place in the next 3 weeks, it's been mostly up. This mega cap Bitcoin hasn't made a new all-time high in 2 weeks, an incredibly long time, right? Seems like years, but many bulls think it's just a matter of time before we take off again with our next leg up. So seeing a 70 handle on Bitcoin is truly something I wasn't sure we see, according to this author, at least during the depths of the last crypto winter. And now we're trading well above this level, and substantial accumulation suggests a rise well above the previous highs could be in order. That's right, yo. Some crypto analysts feared a significant pre-halving dip, and we did dip as much as 17%, not as much as the previous pre-halving dip. So also something to consider, this is the very first time in Bitcoin history we broke the previous all-time high pre-halving. All previous three halvings, it was always post-halving. So things are a little different this time. So let's discuss, is 300,000 really achievable? Let's break it down. There have been a considerable amount of bullish investors for Bitcoin financial expert Kiyosaki. Being the biggest fan of the said crypto, I have to admit, I have reread Rich Dad Poor Dad a number of times. I've probably read it personally a dozen times in my life. Let me know if you guys have read that classic. That said, his views on Bitcoin as a store of value continue to drive interest in some circles, as do the price predictions. A quick shout out to Tim Puff. I appreciate you supporting the channel by becoming a HODL Gang member. HODL Gang, HODL Gang, HODL Gang. Respect. Kiyosaki recently predicted that Bitcoin can reach 300,000 per coin, a value that would be driven by both its nature as a store of value and as the global economic shifts towards safe haven assets. I think some of this narrative certainly plays into the reason certain investors hold Bitcoin. In fact, he even recently announced he was going to purchase an additional 10 Bitcoin. And a few weeks ago, he announced holding 66 Bitcoin. So that would put him at a holding of roughly 76 BTC. Now, that said, a 300,000 price target doesn't seem that crazy now, does it? Bitcoin has doubled and doubled and doubled again over history, as we all know. Suggesting the trend can't change may simply be ludicrous to some. Let me know your thoughts on that. Do you think these cycles stay intact? Now, according to this author, he says, I'm not sold on 300,000 price target necessarily, but I think 100,000 could be in the cards this year. So for those willing to put a small portion of one's portfolio into crypto, Bitcoin would be how I do it right now. Now, I want to point out, talking about Bitcoin allocation in a portfolio, BlackRock a couple of years ago released a study and their recommended allocation in a portfolio for Bitcoin, 84.9%. Just let that sink in. What if the $10 trillion asset manager actually, over time, allocated roughly 85% of their portfolio into Bitcoin? What if the other asset management behemoths did the same thing? Now, obviously, that would take Bitcoin to tens of millions of dollars per coin. But what if they only did 5%? What if the other asset managers followed? That would be game-changing in and of itself. And even ARK Invest's Kathy Wood has predicted, even if they only put roughly 2 to 3% into Bitcoin, we can easily tap the seven-figure price target. So I want to know your thoughts. But anyways, family, now let's dive into our feature story of the day. Tether co-founder makes a $300,000 Bitcoin price prediction if by April 20th. Let's break this baby down. We know April 20th is around the corner, right? That's 420, by the way. Just saying. But anyways, after a major drop, Bitcoin is back on track with the King Crypto trading back above 71,000. Following a roughly 5% hike over the week, execs think it could go even higher with the Bitcoin halving event looming to take place here in April. Now, William Quigley, venture capitalist and co-founder of Tether and Wax.io, echoes a similar sentiment, speaking for Squawk on the Street. The exec claimed the following: there is a lot of positive forces that are pushing Bitcoin up right now, and this is before the halving, which is usually after that fact when Bitcoin really skyrockets. That's right. The three previous halvings, we had a 2012, 2016, and 2020. It was always the year preceding the halving. We hit that cycle peak just as we did in 2021, November 10th at 69,000. This observation also sheds light on the historical pattern of Bitcoin's halving and the impact on the coin's price trajectory. Traditionally, the halving has been succeeded by a bull market. Now, factors influencing the Bitcoin price. We have Quigley suggesting the Bitcoin price could potentially increase by 3 or 4 times its current value, which would be 300 to 400% gains, or 3 to 4x, reaching over $300,000 if it regains the 70,000 level by April 20th. And note, we just reclaimed the 70,000 level today. So take that, bears. And according to the exec, Bitcoin's upcoming halving event will impact the miners and investors differently. While miners may face challenges amid increased competition, investors should adopt a long-term perspective due to Bitcoin's unique valuation driven by sentiment rather than traditional metrics. And contrary to the viewpoint, we have Lynn Alden, an investment researcher, in conversation noting the following. I think the halving is important, but it is only one factor out of many that determines the occurrence and timing of a bull market. Various measures of global liquidity, HODL waves, and other catalysts combine to serve a larger role. And popular analyst Mikhail van de Pop shared a similar view, with Pop predicting a potential surge to 80,000 before the halving in April. Quoting him here, I think that we are close to the peak of this run, but I think we'll have another all-time high test, perhaps even 75 to 80,000 pre-halving, and then we are correcting. So what are your thoughts on that, family? Please do let me know. I think personally 300,000 is a very realistic target for this cycle. I have said it before and I'll repeat myself. My personal prediction for this cycle peak is a bear scenario as low as 222,000 per coin, and a bull scenario as high as $750,000 per coin. We also have some very bullish Bitcoin proponents, such as Jan3's Samson Mao, who is predicting 1 million still in play for this year. Max Kaiser, a few weeks ago, as I shared on the podcast, has also upped his price target for this cycle to $750,000 per coin. We have ARK Invest's Kathy Wood now projecting over $3 million per coin by the year 2030. Initially, her prediction was only $1 million. So people are becoming more and more bullish, and for good reason. I think the ETF inflows have far succeeded everyone's wildest expectation, including the CEO of BlackRock, Larry Fink. And with game theory in effect, I want you to consider all this. You have MicroStrategy, and you have the largest, juggernaut of them all as far as asset management is concerned, with BlackRock, neck and neck, both with over 200,000 Bitcoin. Neither are slowing down. MicroStrategy's grand goal is to acquire 5% of the circulating supply. They already tapped 1%. And then, of course, BlackRock, like a snowball effect right now, is gaining more and more traction. So they're fighting over biddies in real time. This is game theory. And then let's not forget the other 10 Bitcoin ETFs doing the same thing. Shout out Tiago. Appreciate you subbing. And let's not forget the ETFs that are yet to even be launched. The one that's going to come out of Hong Kong, there's probably going to be a flurry of them all coming around the same time. And they're expediting that, which we know as fact. There's a lot of money there, you know, in that region, obviously, with China, you know what I mean? Malaysia, all those places. And then, you know, Japan, et cetera, a lot of money. But anyways, and then we also have out of El Salvador, we're going to have a very special ETF as well, with Bitcoin in, Bitcoin out, whereas the US ETFs are ultimately fiat in and fiat out, and you just get the equivalent return. And you also got to consider that Bitcoin ETF BTC cannot be compared to self-custodied Bitcoin, because Bitcoin ETF BTC can be confiscated. That's something you have to consider, family, whereas self-custodied Bitcoin is the correct way to hold your Bitcoin, where nobody can take it, right? Now we have to consider nation-state adoption. We have the first state, El Salvador, the first one to adopt Bitcoin as a legal tender. Now we have other countries doing the same or following in their footsteps. Ed Snowden, whistleblower, a couple of weeks back, we shared on the pod, made a tweet, and he ultimately said there is a nation secretly buying Bitcoin behind the scenes, and they're going to be announcing it. Could that be the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia? Could that be Qatar? Could that be Canada? Could that be another, you know what I mean, Latin American country? What are your thoughts? So all of these elements are playing out in real time. It's something to consider. Bitcoin supply shock. Crypto Quant CEO is projecting in 6 months, we get a supply shock, which means the 2 million Bitcoin approximation currently on the exchanges dries up and there's no more biddies to buy, right? Just at the rate BlackRock and MicroStrategy are buying Bitcoin can lead to a supply shock. So when we calculate all these other factors into the mix, it's very realistic, family. We hit 300,000, not only potentially this cycle peak, but potentially for this year. But let me know your thoughts in that live chat. And don't forget to check out CryptoNewsAlerts.net for the full premium experience with video and to participate in our live Q&A. And I look forward to seeing you on tomorrow's episode, HODL